WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Remember the booklet, A Bill Becomes a Law? Many of us studied it in school, a nifty narrative of the salmon-like upstream swimming of legislation through the relevant House and Senate committees to the floor of Congress to the desk of the president. If memory serves, it was also made into a children's TV cartoon with a catchy jingle. Anthony Lake's Samosa Falling reminds me of A Bill Becomes a Law. It might have been called A Policy Becomes a Shambles. Lake rose through the Foreign Service to become Director of Policy Planning in Jimmy Carter's State Department. He's now in exile, a Mount Holyoke professor of international relations. But he was in Washington in 1978, when Nicaragua fell apart after 30 years of Somoza dictatorship. He wants us to know, minute by minute, meeting by meeting, backstab by backstab, how we muddled our way to fiasco, how career diplomats reached an adjournment of minds with political appointees, how human rights activists were at odds with area specialists, and the National Security Council at cross-purposes with state, how congressmen and lobbyists had axes to grind, how practicalities of domestic politics messed with the principle of non-interference in the affairs of other nations. While all this went on, under geological layers of paperwork and the heavy weather of personalities that huffed and puffed and sent down lightning, the Sandinistas were busy winning their revolution and cared not a whit what we said or did, unless we chose to play superpower hardball, invade Nicaragua for the third time in this century, and have another Vietnam or Afghanistan. About Somoza Falling, I should say first that it's elegantly written. So accustomed are we to prose from Foggy Bottom, reading as if garbled from the Quechua, an unwritten language of the Andes, that we forget just how well a Kennan, an Acheson, even a Kissinger could write when safely out of office. It's also unfailingly fascinating, not only on the indoor plumbing of bureaucracy and why it clogs, but on the dreary landscape of exalted thought itself, the plastic veneer tables round which decision-makers crowd for kneesies and vituperation. I suspect Lake, were he not ambitious to return to power in a future Democratic administration, would have been equally Dickensian in his portraits of these difficult people, wound up like toys with keys in their backs. Finally, his suggestions to improve state make sense. A better deal for career diplomats. More attention paid to area experts who know something about the region we're trying to destabilize. And a livelier sense of history, especially Third World history, on the part of bureaucrats who don't take the time to read anything but their own internal memos. I have these caveats, however. Lake seems to suggest that Nicaragua is another Cuba, in spite of its mixed economy, no shooting of political prisoners, and a noisy opposition press. Just maybe Nicaragua got the revolution it deserved, at least from a Nicaraguan point of view. And maybe state and our presidents are always so surprised, though nobody else is, by revolutions in Latin America, Iran, and the Philippines, because they don't get up from their plastic veneer tables and peek out the windows, Lake says, look only down, not far and wide, and try to see some broad new definition of our national interest, generous enough to include the inconvenient aspirations of all the non-American peoples of the world.